Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And of course, on Wednesday night, we are making our way through the book of 2 Corinthians verse by verse, chapter by chapter. The last several weeks, we've been in this section of 2 Corinthians chapters number 8 and 9. And if you remember, verses 8 and 9 have to do with generous giving. And that has been the theme of these chapters. If you remember, the Apostle Paul is taking a special offering. And we spent a couple of weeks in chapter 8 because chapter 8 is divided into two sections. The first five verses, we have an example that Paul is using of the churches in Macedonia and their generous giving. And then the rest of the chapter was an exhortation to the church at Corinth for generous giving. In chapter 9, he continues that exhortation in regards to the special offering. And I've been making this disclaimer that I did not plan for us to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, which are chapters about giving and specifically about a special offering. I did not plan for us to be in those chapters 3 weeks before we take our special offering. I wish I could take credit for that. It sounds like a good plan, but I didn't do it. We started 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, back in September of last year, and it just worked out that we were here, and that's what God wanted. That must be what God wanted. So we've been looking at giving a lot the last several weeks, and I don't feel that bad about it because I don't speak a lot on the subject of giving. And if you ever grew up like in an old IFB church, you'll know that what they do at their churches right before a special offering is they'll have like a four-week series on giving every Sunday morning, every year. And we don't do that here, so I guess it's good for you to get it every once in a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look down at verse number 1. I'm going to give you from this chapter some lessons on generous giving. And again, I'm only preaching on this because we happen to be in this passage. But of course, we have a special offering coming up this weekend. So you should make the application and I will make the application in regards to giving. But I want you to notice there in verse 1, Paul says, "For as touching the ministering of the saints," and the word minister means to serve, and ministering means is regards to serving. He says, "For as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." That word superfluous means it's unnecessary. He said it's not needed for me to write to you. He says, regarding the need, the ministering of the saints, what the saints need, he says, "I don't need to write to you," verse 2, "for I know the forwardness of your mind." Paul says, "I know that you are wanting and willing to help." He says, "I know that this is something that you've wanted to do." Notice there, verse 2, "for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia." He says, "I already knew that you wanted to give. You'd already committed to give. And because I know the forwardness of your mind," he said, "I've already boasted. I've already used you." In the same way that in chapter 8, he used the church in Macedonia as an example for the church at Corinth, he's telling the church at Corinth, "I've used you as an example for other churches. I boast of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal," notice there verse 2, "have provoked very many." So he says, look, I know that you want to partake in this special offering, is what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. He says, "and I know of your willingness to help others." And he says, I've used your willingness as an example to help and provoke others. And of course, now he's telling them, "I want you to follow through with this." Notice verse 3. He says, "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready." He says, look, I want you to be ready for this offering. He said, I want you to be ready to deal with this thing. Notice verse 4 there. He says, "less happily." That word happily means perhaps or possibly. He says, "unless possibly, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you," I want you to notice this word, "unprepared, we," that we say not ye, "should be ashamed in this same confident boasting." And here's what Paul is saying. He says, look, I've already told these other churches about your willingness. He said, in fact, I boasted of them, of your willingness, and I know the forwardness of your mind. He said, I've used you as an example to encourage them and to provoke them. Your zeal have provoked very many. And he says, look, I want you to be ready to partake of this. And you really see the humanity of Paul. Obviously, the Bible here is written under the inspiration of God. This is scripture from the Word of God. But you see his humanity as a human being, because he says, look, in verse 3, he says, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf that I said, ye may be ready. He's telling them, like, I've already told them that you guys are ready, and we've sent the brethren, and I don't want them to think that I've been boasting of you and that the boasting of you has been in vain or has been empty or that there's nothing there. Verse 4, lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. He said, I don't want the people from Macedonia to come to gather this offering that I've told them you're ready to do. He says, and they find you unprepared. And I want you to notice in the last part of verse 4, he says, he's trying to be a good leader here. He's putting himself with them. He says, we, but then he says that we say not ye, because he's saying, really, it'd be you who failed if this doesn't get done. He says, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. So he says, look, I want you to be ready. And what I really want you to notice there in verses 3 and 4 is the last word of verse 3, ready. And then I want you to notice this word in verse 4, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you, notice this word, unprepared. And that's really what this week is about. Normally, during a vision offering, I will preach on the subject of the vision offering on the Sunday morning before the vision offering. And then we take a week to prepare for the vision offering. Why? That we may be ready and that we are not found unprepared. That we would be ready to participate and to partake in this offering. Notice verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. He says, for that reason, because I didn't want you to be unprepared. And in a very human sense, he says, because I don't want you to embarrass me and embarrass yourself by not being ready. He says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. And the word bounty there is meaning a generous gift, and he's referring to the special offering. He says, I thought it was necessary to exhort you that you might be ready to make up beforehand your bounty, be ready to give this gift. He says, I want you to be ready. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Now, in verses 1 through 5, he's speaking very directly to the church at Corinth and saying, look, I've already told people you're going to give. I've already used you as an example to encourage other people to give. And I don't want them to show up and you not be ready. So I'm sending people. I'm writing this letter. I'm sending people in advance. And I'm having them to have you get prepared for these things. He talks about that in verses 1 through 5. Then in verse 6, he kind of shifts and begins to give them some lessons because he wants to continue to encourage them on the subject of giving. So he begins to give them some lessons in regards to giving. And what he does is he gives them, as far as I can tell, there are 5 different things that the Apostle Paul speaks to them in regards to giving. And I want to point those out to you tonight. And I would encourage you, of course, to take some notes on the back of your course of the week. You can write some things down. I want you to notice the first thing he points out in verse 6 is the promise of giving. The promise of giving. Notice verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth. Now, he's going to use an illustration here, and it is an illustration in regards to farming. And the word sow means to plant or to put seed in the ground. He says, he which soweth. He says, but this I say, because remember, he's trying to encourage them to give, right? He's telling them, I don't want you to be embarrassed. I don't want you to embarrass me. I want you to be ready. I want there to be a bounty. I want you to do what you said you were going to do. That's what he said in chapter 8, to perform the doing of it. And then he says, here's why. But this I say, he which soweth, he says, the farmer that is planting, that is putting a seed on the ground, he which soweth sparingly. What does the word sparingly mean? It means in a limited way. He which soweth sparingly shall reap. The word reap means to get a return. It's what's going to grow out of that seed that you sowed. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully. What does the word bountifully mean? It means generously. It means abundantly. It means a lot of. He says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And of course, he's using this illustration of a farmer, but it's easy to understand. Keep your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's our text for tonight. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have Proverbs. And do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there in Proverbs, because we're going to leave it. And we're going to come back to it, so I'd like you to be able to get to it quickly. Proverbs chapter number 11, he uses this example, and he says, look, a farmer who has seed, if they're going to reap a harvest, it's dependent on what they put in the ground. If they sow sparingly, they will reap sparingly. If they sow bountifully, they will reap bountifully. And he says that's true of farming and planting and those crops and those types of things. But Paul says that's also true of giving. He says there is a biblical promise from God in regards to giving, and it is this, that he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Proverbs teaches the same concept. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse number 24. Proverbs 11, 24, the Bible says, there is that scattereth. What's the word scatter mean? It means to distribute or to disperse. And here the idea when it comes to giving is that we're distributing or dispersing or scattering financially. He says, there is that scattereth, notice, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth. What does withhold mean? It means to keep back, to hold back. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. I want you to notice that phrase. Withholdeth more than is meet. What does that mean? Well, the word meet means suitable or proper. Here's what he's saying. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth. Now, is there something wrong with withholding? There's nothing wrong with withholding. We should all withhold to some extent because we can't just give it all away. You've got bills to pay. You've got groceries to buy. You've got family to take care of. He says there is that withholdeth. But he says there is that withholdeth more than is meet, because some people withhold more than is proper or suitable. They could scatter some, but they withhold more than what is appropriate to withhold. What would you call that? Well, this is the biblical way of calling this person a cheapskate. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth, nothing wrong with withholding, but there is something wrong with withholding more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The word poverty means to have little or no money, to have no means of support. You say, what is the Bible saying here? And here's the truth. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, the Bible is the word of God, and this proverb is true. Because what I've noticed over 11 years of ministry is that you'll find people that are successful, people that are financially doing well, people that God has blessed, and God has blessed their careers and blessed their business and blessed, given them a mind to be able to work and to invest and to make. And you look at these people, and they're very generous. And initially, your thought is, oh, no, they're generous because they have a lot. Because they have a lot, they are generous. And that's what you first think. You know, when my wife and I first came into ministry, we thought, oh, this individual is very generous because they have a lot. But over 11 years of ministry, we've had the wonderful privilege of watching God take people who did not have a lot, yet were generous, and he's made them wealthy. He's made them successful. They were generous before they had a lot. You say, how can that be? Here's why. Because there is that scattereth. There are some people that scatter and distribute and disperse and are generous, and yet they increase. God blesses them. God helps them. God helps them at work, and God gives them bonuses, and God gives them increases, and God gives them promotions, and God blesses their business. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet. You look at people, and they keep it because they're afraid to give it away, but yet they're always broke. But it tendeth to poverty. And in verse 25, he says, the liberal, and the word liberal means generous. We use the word liberal to speak of political people. The problem with those liberals is that they're generous with other people's money. This is talking about somebody being liberal with their own money. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself again. You say, how can this be? Here's why. Because he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And here's the promise. Here's the promise of giving. And it is this, that the more you give, the more you get. Now, I don't want you to think that in a prosperity gospel sense. Okay, we're going to come back and clean that up here in a minute. But the promise of giving is that the more you give, the more you get. Because there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Go to Luke chapter 6, if you would. Luke chapter 6. Keep your place in Proverbs. We're going to come back to it. Luke chapter 6. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6. Let me give you a couple of promises in regards to giving. It's the investment aspect of giving. What is it? It is that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What can we learn from that? We can learn that the more you give, the more you get. And here's another rule, a law of giving that God has given us, and it is this, that you cannot outgive God. In Luke 6:38, the Bible says, Jesus said, give. He said, give, be generous. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. He said, you give, and it shall be given unto you. And he says, and I point this out every year around Vision Offering, because I love this verse. I think it's an amazing verse. God says, if you give, Jesus says, if you give, it's going to be given unto you. He says, but the difference is that when it's given back to you, it'll be given to you in good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall a man give into your bosom. You say, well, what is that referring to? Well, notice what he says at the end of verse 38. He says, for with the same measure that ye meet, the word meet means to measure. He says, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And the idea is, and I often use this illustration, if you think of a measuring cup, if you've got a container full of flour or sugar or something like that that you're going to need to use and you're going to measure it out, you would have these measuring cups. And these measuring cups come in different sizes. Some are a cup and some are half a cup and some are a quarter of a cup. You've got these different sizes and you decide what you want to give and how much you want to take out of this container, and you grab a measuring cup and you scoop in there and you scoop out the scatter. And that's the idea, that of a baker scooping out flour out of a container, is the idea that Jesus is giving here. He says, when you've got your bucket of resources, the things that God has blessed you with, and you pick out a measuring cup and you scoop into those resources that God has given you, and you use that to measure out what it is that you're going to scatter, disperse, what you're going to sow, and what you're going to give. And then God says, here's what I want you to understand. When you are done, when the vision offering's over, and you've taken out your bucket of finances and resources, and you've looked at the different measuring cups there of a full cup and a half cup and a quarter of a cup, and you choose the one you're going to use to mete out what you will give, then God says, for with the same measure that ye mete withal, it shall be measured to you again. God says, then I will pick up that same measuring cup and give back to you. Now, he says, the difference is that when I do it, it's going to be good measure. He said, when I do it, I'm going to scoop it out. He says, it's going to be pressed down. I'm going to get all the air bubbles out of there. When you get it back, it's going to be shaken. He said, I'm going to press it and shake it. Make sure that it's all compounded. I'm going to try to get as much in there as possible. In fact, when I give it back to you, he says, it'll be running over. Shall man give into your bosom? He says, I'm going to make sure you're getting everything you can and it's running over. But he says, the one rule is this, though, that I will give using the same measure that you gave. So he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And remember that it has nothing to do with the amount that you're giving, but it has to do with the sacrifice for you. Because for a little four-year-old girl that has no money to put a $5 bill, which is 100% of what she has, is like the widow's mite, a great sacrifice. Amen. But there's a promise of giving, and the promise of giving is this, that the more you give, the more you get, and you cannot outgive God. But God will use the measure that you meet with. So he says, don't be cheap. Don't withhold more than is meet. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We see this first lesson in regards to giving. What is it? It's the promise of giving. But then I want you to notice, secondly, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea there with a prosperity gospel mindset, because that's where our flesh tends to go. And I'm going to show that to you, that that's not what Paul's talking about in this passage. But just know that you do get more than you give, and you cannot outgive God. The second lesson, he gives us the first lesson, the promise of giving, the investment. Then he gives us the second lesson, and it is the perspective of giving. This is regarding your attitude. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. See, our giving should be purposeful or on purpose. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And by the way, this is not just for the vision offering. This is all you're giving. All you're giving. Whether it's paying your tithes, whether it's a vision offering or special gifts that you might give above the vision offering at different times of the year, these should all be done purposefully. See, the offering time should not be this thing where the offering is received and you're just kind of like, well, I've got a couple bucks here and just whatever I had left over. You open your wallet and it's like, whatever I had left over, I guess I'll throw that in. No, no. See, giving should be done on purpose. It should be planned. Remember, he told them, I don't want you to be unprepared. He said, I want you to be ready. So he says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. That's why I pray that during this season of vision offering, you've taken the time to think and pray and consider and ask yourself, God, you've given me this bucket of resources, and they are there are these different measuring cups that I can choose, and you've thought about that. It's not just something you're just going to do. But you give purposely. He says, our perspective for giving, our attitude for giving, is that you give purposefully. But I want you to notice, secondly, there in that verse, it's not only that we give purposefully, but it's that we give joyfully. Notice verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, notice, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He wants us to give purposefully. He wants us to give joyfully. I've made a big deal about this every year, and I've made a big deal about it already during this season of giving. But just remember that we want joyful givers. And look, and if you can't be joyful in your giving, keep your money, please. Well, don't you need it? Well, we don't want you to give grudgingly or of necessity. We'd hate for you to think that God needs you. And I don't mean that in a rude way. We want your participation, and I hope everyone participates. But don't ever get in your mind that God needs you. God doesn't need anybody. God doesn't need you, and God doesn't need me. You say, well, I got to give to God. No, no, you don't have to give to God. You get to give to God. Amen. God doesn't need you. I need God. God doesn't need me to get involved and to get involved in the thing of missions and the gospel being preached and lives getting changed. No, God doesn't need me to get involved. I get to serve with God and work alongside with God. It is a blessing to be partnered with God. So if you're going to give grudgingly and of necessity, please don't. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And he wants you to give purposefully, and he wants you to give joyfully, and he wants you to offer a willing sacrifice. We've talked a lot about it. I won't have you turn anywhere. I'll just read these verses for you. 1 Chronicles 29:6 says, this is, remember when David was taking a special offering, he says, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. 1 Chronicles 29:9, he says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And look, I'm not trying to be rude, and I'm not trying to discourage you from giving, but I am giving you, if you need it, I'm giving you permission. If your heart's not in it, don't give. We want you to give willingly or not at all. You say, well, is that right? Well, you know, that your heart matter is between you and God. So we see the promise of giving. The more you give, the more you get. And you cannot outgive God. We see the perspective of giving, that we are to give purposefully, and that we are to give joyfully. But notice, thirdly, tonight, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. I want you to notice the provision of giving. The provision of giving is in regards to the fact that you're being taken care of by God. Notice what he says there in verse 8. He says, and I love these words. We're going to sing this on Sunday. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, notice, that ye always having all sufficiency. What does the word sufficiency mean? It means having everything you need. Having all you need. You might say, well, I don't have all I need. Well, if you have that attitude, it's because you're covetous. Because the Bible says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So if you have food, if you've ate within the last 24 hours, and if you have clothes on, which it looks like everybody here has clothes on, then you should be content. Amen. And if you're not content, then it's because you're covetous. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You say, what's Paul saying? Here's what he's saying. God provides the resources from which we live. He says, you need to know that. Paul is saying the church at Corinth, and I'm telling the church in Sacramento, we need to understand. You're there in 2 Corinthians 9. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You're there in 2 Corinthians 9. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we need to understand that God provides the resources from which we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, notice what he says. I love this verse. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Isn't that what we like? Right? To be differ from another? That's why you spend so much time on Facebook, right? Because you want to post all your pictures of how awesome you are and how great you are, because you want to make sure everybody knows that your life is great and their life is not. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And then he asks this question, I love it. He says, and what hast thou that thou dost not receive? What exactly do you have that you didn't get? What do you have that God didn't give you? And the answer is nothing. Amen. Now, if thou didst receive it, if what you have was given to you by God, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? He says, look, if God gave you everything, if every good gift cometh from above, if it comes down from the Father of lights, if God's given you whatever you have, whatever it is you're boasting about and bragging about, if God's given it to you, then why are you glorying in it as if thou didst not receive it? See, the truth is that God provides the resources from which we live. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And look, I'm not against you having nice things. I hope that our entire church family, as a result of coming to a church like Verity Baptist Church and learning biblical principles on finances and to get out of debt and to save money and to budget and to be wise and to be generous, that as a result of all those things, that God will bless you and that God will help you. And I hope that God does bless you with nice vehicles and nice houses to live in and nice clothes to wear and good food to eat. I hope that God blesses you with all that. But just remember, when God gives that to you, remember that God is the one who provided those means. God is the one who gave those things to you. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? The question is. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 17. Here, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's warning them to not forget from where they've came, and that it is God that brought them into this promised land. And he says, and thou say in thine heart, he says, I want you to remember God, because I don't want you to say this in your heart. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Amen. That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. We need to always remember whatever success you have, whatever wealth you have, whatever resources you have, that it is God who has given you the power to get that wealth. God provides the resources from which we live. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what Paul's teaching. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So he says, I want to speak to you not only on the promise of giving and the perspective of giving, but he says, I want to speak to you in regards to the provision of giving. And the provision of giving is this, that God provides the resources from which we live. And then he says, and because God provides the resources from which we live, he says, God provides the resources from which we give. Notice verse 9. As it is written. Now, here Paul is going to quote the Old Testament for us, and he's going to quote Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. We'll go look at it here in a minute. He says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth, the word minister means to administer, to give out. He is the he that is referring to God. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Remember that promise. He says, it's the God. He says, the same God that gives seed to the sower is the same God that multiplies that seed once it's sown. He says, the God that gave you the seed to begin with is the God that gives you the increase once you've planted it. Because God provides the resources from which we live, and because God provides the resources from which we live, God provides the resources from which we give. Go to Isaiah 55. You say, I don't understand. Well, look at Isaiah 55. Remember, he's quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 55. If you kept your place in Proverbs, I hope you did, because we're coming back to Proverbs. But from Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Remember, he said, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase your fruits. He said, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. This is a quote from Isaiah. Isaiah 55, look at verse 10. Here's what Paul is quoting. Now, in Isaiah, a different application is being made, but Paul uses it as an example of giving, because it applies to giving as well. Isaiah 55, 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that, notice, it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now, Paul is taking that verse, because it's a parable or a proverb, and he's using it in the application of giving, and that's fine. The Holy Spirit decided to do that. Isaiah uses that same proverb in a different application. Look at verse 11. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah uses this illustration in the sense of the word of God being preached. Because scattering seed can both picture giving or it can picture the gospel. So both are being used from this example. But the example is this, as rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth a bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, here's what Paul and what both Isaiah and Paul, the point that they're making is this. A farmer, because they were speaking to agricultural societies, a farmer might, like you remember the rich fool, they might plant. They might sow a field, and they might reap a harvest, and they might reap, you know, tenfold, and a 50-fold, and a 100-fold, and they might be very rich and very wealthy as a result of their investments, and as a result of when what they planted, and where they planted, and when they planted, and the result that they got. But Isaiah is reminding us, don't forget, because remember, the idea is when you start thinking, my might and my hand have gotten me this wealth, he says, hey, farmer, don't forget that it is God who provided the rain that allowed the harvest. It is God who gave you the seed that you sowed into the ground. It is God that brought up a son to allow it to be to have sunshine upon it. It is God that gave you all the resources that have gotten you this wealth. So he says, because God provides the resources from which we live, God provides the resources from which we give. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. reminds me of the story. You've heard the joke. The scientist that looked up to heaven and shook his fist towards God and said, "You know, we have created life in the lab, and we've learned how to do it, and we don't need you anymore. We'd like to challenge you, God, because we can create life." And God miraculously spoke from heaven and said, "I'll take that challenge." And God took dirt and created life from it and said, "Your turn." The scientist got down on his knee and picked up a handful of dirt. And God said, no, get your own dirt. And the truth is this, that you might say, "Well, no, my I work hard, and my mind and my strength and my education, and that's why I'm wealthy." No, God gave you that mind. God gave you that strength. God gave you the breath. The breath, the Bible says, the breath that we breathe right now is in the hand of God. So Paul says, when it comes to giving, don't forget the provision of God. That God provides the resources from which we live, and God also provides the resources from which we give. And then in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9 and 11, he talks about the profit of giving, the blessing. He's talked to us about the promise. Remember the promise? The more you give, the more you get. And you cannot outgive God. He talked about the perspective of giving, to give joyfully and give purposefully. He talked about the provision. We get what we live from God, so we also get what we give with from God. Then he talks about the profit of giving. What is the profit? This is in regards to the blessings of God. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Notice what he says. Being enriched. We like that word, don't we? Enriched. He says being enriched, but notice, not in money, in everything. In everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. See, here's what I want you to understand. This is what I told you at the beginning of the sermon about the prosperity gospel. The promise of giving is that you get more than you give, and you cannot outgive God. And though that is true, the truth is, the more you give, the more you get. You also have to realize that what you get is not always money. Because, see, the prosperity gospel preachers, what they'll say is, you know, invest $100 and God will give you $1,000. Invest $1,000 and God will give you $100,000 and these things. But the Bible doesn't say that. God says the more you give, the more you get, and you cannot outgive God. But he says it's not always money. It's not this equation that equates back to money. And you say, why is that? Here's why. Because there's more to life than money. Amen. There are some things that are more important than money. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. 3 John 1:1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You say, "Pastor Jimenez, your wife and you both of you have committed to give a certain amount to the vision offering, and now you're preaching that you cannot outgive God, and the more you give, the more you get, and are you hoping that God, you know, you're going to give a certain amount, or are you hoping that God will give you more?" And I will say to you, just flat out, absolutely, I believe it. I believe that we cannot outgive God, and I believe that God will give us more than we get. But I don't necessarily believe that God will give us back money, because we give money, we get money. Now, sometimes that's the case, and sometimes God does that, and sometimes God blesses people financially, and praise God for that. I've never really seen him do that for us, but you know, there are some things I'd rather have than money. I'd rather have health. I'd rather have children, like John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I'd rather have a good relationship with my wife, and I'd rather have great friends here in the ministry. And I'm not saying that if you don't have health or if your kids aren't doing well, that that's the curse of God. I'm just telling you, when it comes to the blessings of God, there are some things I'd rather have than money. Amen. And in fact, If God says, "Hey, Pastor Jimenez, when you're figuring out which measuring cup to measure out of, just remember that you're scooping out corruptible coins and money, play money, monopoly money, And remember that I'm going to pick up that same cup and I'm going to measure it back to you, but it's not going to be exactly that same money. It may be the relationship you have with your children. It may be the blessing upon your ministry. It may be the health of your family. But whatever it is, I'm going to make sure it's good. Amen. Hey, that you know, that sounds to me like a great investment. Amen. That sounds like a no-brainer. Wait, I can give God money that the government wants to take from me anyway, and as a result, have the blessing of God upon my life. And you say, but Pastor Mendez, we've seen your house, and you, it's not that nice. Hey, it may not be that nice, but there's some things more important than money. I'd rather go home with the blessing of God. So Paul says there's a profit to giving. He says it's true that you get more than you give, but don't always assume it's money. Because the truth is, there's many a rich man who was helpless in an emergency room, who was helpless at the day of his death, who was helpless sitting in a divorce court. And there are some things that are more important than money. Paul says you can unleash the blessing of God upon your life through giving. He says you can give that which is temporal and gain that which is eternal. And he says that's a great investment. Then he says this in verse 11. We're going to finish up here in a minute. We talked about the promise of giving, the perspective of giving, the provision of giving, the profit of giving. Then he wraps it up with this idea, the praise of giving. Notice again, verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. He says, when you give, it causes thanksgiving to God. Now, here's what's interesting. Go to Matthew, just real quickly. Matthew, first book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, back to 2 Corinthians. I'll walk you through the rest of the verses in this chapter, and we'll finish up, okay? We'll be done here in a few minutes. And you won't have to hear about giving for another year or something. Here's the interesting thing about giving, though. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. God says, don't waste your time laying up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. You say, why is that a waste of time? Here's why. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Where any country could go to war with any country and cause the stock market to crash. He says, you don't have any guarantee when you're laying up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Because there's moth and there's rust and it's corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, there's lots that we can say from that passage, but let me just say this. When you give here on earth, you get credit in heaven. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. When we give on earth, we get credit in heaven. But Paul says, go back to 2 Corinthians 9, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 12, 2 Corinthians 9, 12, for the administration of this service. What is he saying? He's saying the administering of this offering, the fact that we're taking the time to get this whole thing together and to administer this thing in administration. And I can understand from Paul the administration. I mean, Paul's talking about the fact that he had to write letters to all these different churches and he had to go there and preach his vision offering sermon and get them all to give at a certain amount, at a certain time and gather it all together and count it up and send it. And look, I get that because vision offering around here, it's a big old process, sending letters and sending postcards and making, writing videos and text messages and emails and announcing it and preaching it. You say, Pastor, why do you do all that? Here's why. Because somebody in this room is going to show up on Sunday morning and say, is that thing today? And I'll be like, man, good night. I preached like 5 sermons about it. You got 3 emails, 2 text messages, 2 YouTube videos. Do we need to hire a plane to ride it up on the sky above your house? I mean, It's human nature. It's how people are. He says, for the administration of this service, not only supplied the want of the saints. Please don't miss this. Paul says, this offering is not only supplying the want of the saints, because there's a need, right? There's a need that needs to be met. He says, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. He says, because you subjected yourself to the gospel of Christ, he says, and for your liberal distribution, for your giving unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And I don't understand. What does all that mean? Here's what it means. When you and I give on earth, we get the credit in heaven. Praise God for that. He says, but then the work of God continues. The work of God goes forth. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen to Verity Baptist Church, and I don't have a crystal ball that tells me what the future has in store for us. We're just taking things one step at a time, and as God opens the door, we will go through. But the idea is this, that one day we will move out of this building and into a bigger building and maybe a building we own. And as a result, we will be able to reach more people and fit more people, and lives will be changed, and family trees will be changed, and entire legacies of Christian heritage will happen as a result of this ministry. And there are people coming down the road, people that you've never met and I've never met, people we don't even know. My wife and I were just talking about this. There are people as a result of what we're doing here today, not just the vision offering, but including the vision offering, but the soul winning and the reaching and the sermons and all those things. As a result, there are people that are being influenced and impacted, and one day the people that come to this church will marry our children. Amen. And your children.
Amen.
And there'll be grandchildren and great-grandchildren whose lives will be impacted, and they will say, they won't. You know what they're not going to say? I don't mean to hurt your feelings. They're not going to say, praise God for great-grandpa who gave to that vision offering in 2022. They're not going to say that. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, thank God for this ministry. Thank God for this church. Thank God for that group of people back then, 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago, that sacrificed and gave and they worked hard and they allowed us to have this ministry. They're going to thank God. See, here's what I want you to understand. The praise of giving is this, that when you and I give on earth, we get credit in heaven. In heaven, we will get the credit. In heaven, we will get the reward. In heaven, we will lay up in store for us a good gift up there. But when we give on earth, we get the credit in heaven. God gets the credit on earth. Amen. And the people that are affected, those Filipinos that are getting saved over there, you don't know them, but they say, thank God. Thank God that these offerings were taken. Thank God that this work was done. There's people in Vancouver, Washington, and Boise, Idaho, and Fresno, California, and Manila, and in Bicol, and in Pampanga, and in who knows where else God will use us to plant churches. People we don't even know yet, who one day will not say maybe anything to us, but they'll look up to heaven and say, thank God. Amen. And the beautiful thing about giving is that when we give, we get the credit in heaven, but God gets the credit on earth. And people say, thank God. Look at verse 15, we'll finish up. We talked about the promise of giving. The more you give, the more you get, and you cannot outgive God. We talked about the perspective of giving. You are to give purposefully and joyfully. We talked about the provision of giving. God provides the resources from which we live, and because of that, God provides the resources from which we give. We talked about the profit of giving, that though it is true that the more you give, the more you get, you must realize that what you get is not always money, because there's more to life than money. We talked about the praise of giving, that when you and I give on earth, we get credit in heaven, and God gets credit on earth. And then he ends with this, verse 15. And after this verse, Paul's going to transition into something completely different, and next week when we continue in our study in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll be off to something else. And he just kind of says this, and it sounds like it's just this nice little thing he says at the end, and it is a nice thing he says at the end, I think it's Paul's kind of last-ditch effort, because Paul is finding himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. It's kind of the last thing he's going to say. Before the big offering, this is his last chance, his last-ditch effort. I mean, he's done everything he can think of to encourage them and exhort them and provoke them to give. Talked about the promise and perspective and provision and profit and praise. And then he ends. And Paul finds himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in the same place, or I should say I find myself, Pastor Jimenez, tonight in the same place that Paul finds himself in. This is the last thing I'm going to say before the big offering. And he says this: thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So why do you say that? I think his last little motivation to give is this. If none of that has encouraged you, if none of that has motivated you, if none of that has made you want to give, he says, hey, you know why you should give? Because God has given to us. See, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And if you can't think of a good reason to give, you ought to give because you're saved. Because God gave to us. So let me end how Paul ends. If you need a motivation to give at the vision offering this year, remember this: thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this chapter. We thank you for these sermons that you've allowed us to have. And Lord, I really don't know what will happen this weekend on March 27th. And I know that at the end of the day, it's in your hands, and really it's in our hands to submit ourselves to the gospel like Paul spoke. Whatever happens, I pray, Lord, that you would be magnified. I pray that you'd help us to remember that as we give and sacrifice, there are blessings in store, not just financial blessings, all sorts of blessings that you promise to bestow upon us. And the beautiful thing is that we get credit in heaven and God gets credit on earth. And Lord, we love you. We do thank you for the unspeakable gift of salvation. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the vision offering this year. Help us to take time, Lord, like Paul spoke to this church, to not be unprepared, but to be ready. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.